John Hansen in for John Williams, the Wintrust Business Lunch. And on Wednesdays, we chat with Terry Savage. She's in the building today. Terry Savage, it was so, when I saw you walk in, my heart just fluttered. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. And I love it when you sit in. I miss John, but I love it when you sit in. You are always so interested in the financial aspect.
I am. And part of it's literally because of the education you've provided on this radio station. And other people say this all the time. It's that you kind of reformat how we think. We think about things differently. I don't know how many times now people text me on my show, Your Money Matters, and say, make sure you ask if they're a fiduciary. That's what Terry Savage says. Literally, you are changing the way people think about it. I hope you realize that.
And that makes me very happy. That's what this part of my life is dedicated to. All right. So, to figuring out how to help the most people, most broadly, at least be aware of the opportunities and the pitfalls.
Let's help some people then, huh?
Okay.
312-981-7200. Do you want to even talk about the markets today? It's down. I mean, the markets aren't foretelling anything these days. They're kind of...
Yes, it's down. Interest rates are up. It doesn't look like the Fed will cut. The big debate, I actually was watching CNBC this morning. There is no track record of the Fed not cutting or not boosting rates in election years. They sort of demolished the idea that the Fed can't possibly act because it's an election year. But on the other hand, they're not in the middle of a trend of raising or lowering rates. So it's hard to imagine that they would suddenly pick this moment to either cut or to raise rates.
Either.
So that's got the market participants going, gee, you know, you're getting close to 5.5% in T-bills. The 10-year Treasury note is it's over 4.5% now. So maybe do we want to take the risk in stocks? And then somebody says, are you kidding me? Take a look at some of the chip stocks. Take a look at the stocks that are up 15, 20, or 100%. So that's not my game.
Yep.
It's not picking trends or groups or whatever. I think you need exposure to the stock market. But I want to make you feel better about having chicken money, money you cannot afford to lose, and sorting out what that is and having the discipline to keep it on the sideline.
Yeah, I think people just need to kind of triage what their life is, right? It's so individual. Like, you can have general advice, but like, if you have a major purchase coming up and it's in 3 weeks, you know, you're going to do things a little differently than
Definitely chicken money. But part of what happens is you get to a different stage. We are still within a few percent of all-time highs in the stock market. Take a look at your retirement plan, the 401k you were contributing to over all the years, and yeah, they matched you and they told you to do this and you didn't really know what you were doing, so you took the diversified or the age-based. Suddenly we've been in a bull market we're up from 10,000 to close to 40,000, and suddenly you have some real money. So when you reach a certain stage where you're no longer contributing, perhaps you're about to retire or close to it, you start thinking about, well, wait a minute, let's set some aside and keep it safe.
TerrySavage.com. Let's get to one quick text here before we take our first break. John, please ask Terry, I started collecting Social Security at 62. I know you're going to grimace at that. 7 months later,
go ahead and read it.
7 months later, my wife passed away. Can I unretire and collect her death benefits until I'm 67?
You know, I wasn't sure about the correct answer, so this gentleman also posted this, and I saw the question, and I sent it to my buddy Larry Kotlikoff. I'll check my emails during the break and see if he's responded. I'm sorry about her passing, number one. And number two, I know that if you change your mind about collecting your Social Security within a year, you can repay all the money they gave you and just say, wait a minute.
Oh, I didn't.
You can do that. I'll wait till 67. So that completely, I know you could do that. You just have to, there's a form for it at ssa.gov called, repay benefits or undo claim that you can do. But the question is, now that your wife has passed, could you collect on her benefits? I'm going to have to find the answer to that aspect. And so that's why I checked with Larry Kotlikoff, the guru of all things Social Security.
Well, I'm glad they posted at terrysavage.com. That's exactly what we want people to do. If they don't get the answer today, post there.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
He'll get back to you on that one.
I saw that already.
Terry Savage and the other one. You ready for some phone calls, Terry?
Absolutely.
I know you are. Let's go to Larry. Larry, what do you got for us?
I seeded a UGMA account for a 10-year-old a couple years ago. And the question, and it's for their retirement, not for education. The question is, I now have learned that I'd like to convert that to a Roth account based on income. And the question is, does the income have to be documentable? If she's babysitting and she makes $80, can I have a Roth account for her?
Let's start from the beginning. Terry, what's your first question?
Well, that's a really intriguing question. I was first going to say, stop, Larry, stop right there. Your child has to have income and report it on a return, and she's not going to report her babysitting income. I'm going to make the assumption that, you know, there's the kiddie tax, there's all kinds of tax rules, but I'm going to make the assumption that if you called your accountant and said, how old ever she is, 13, 14 years old, that's the age they babysit, is making she's making less than the reportable amount of income, you're not going to file a tax return so you can set money aside. That doesn't make sense. It'll cost more to file the tax return. But it's a great idea if a child does have reportable income to start a Roth IRA with it. That's number one. Number two, you have an UGMA account. And I want
What is an UGMA, by the way?
Uniform Gift to Minors Act. It's a custodial account.
Okay.
Daddy Larry, custodian for little Susie, kind of a thing. But when your child goes to college, and you sound like such a smart guy that you might not have to borrow money because you're really working it.
Yeah.
But if you did, those custodial accounts, UGMA accounts, weigh 7 times more heavily against you in the financial aid formula. So you said you're worried about her retirement and she's just at the babysitting age. I think that's wonderful, and I hope you're teaching her about this. But if, just in case, she might want to apply for federal student loans, that money will count very heavily against you, and you should roll it into a 529 account.
You can roll it into a 529?
You can pay the taxes and roll it in at the child's bracket.
Okay.
Larry, I know you're sitting there wanting to respond to what I said. I would just be setting more money aside in your retirement account at this stage until she really gets a job. And then I would match her dollar for dollar on whatever she saved and start teaching her now about the idea of saving money.
Can you take an UGMA and roll it into a Roth? I think that was kind of the question.
No. Later on, no. It's a Uniform Gift to Minors Act account. You must use it, either spend it on something, so a new computer. I don't know how much you've put away into this account. Something for her benefit, because the Roth is a totally separate thing.
Yeah.
It's just a contribution you make based on reported earned income, not dividends.
Right.
Larry, are you standing there breathing hard and saying that's not what I meant?
No, I'm not breathing hard, but I guess the minor question is, UGMA, I seeded it, and it was strictly for retirement. But what I'm hearing is it could cause, if there was a student loan requirement, her to get less money on a student loan, which her parents are take on the burden, correct?
Exactly. It's a serious thing. When you have money in a UGMA account, that just stands out like a big red flag on your financial aid form. So the tax consequences are, I'm looking up the kiddie tax rates for 2023. The first $1,250 of unearned income for this child is completely sheltered, such as dividends and capital gains. The next $1,250 of unearned income is taxed at your child's income tax rate, which is 10%. So when you do switch to an UGMA or 529, there is a tax on the sale of that UGMA account.
Okay.
So it's complicated. You want
to
ask
your accountant. Yeah, talk to an accountant.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry, but hey, good on you for thinking of that. And hopefully, as Terry said, you're teaching your daughter about that stuff too, okay?
You got it. Have a good day.
All right, Larry. Good job, Larry. Let's go to Kate. Kate's got a question. Kate, what's your question?
You know, I know you kind of shrug at retirement at 62, but I applied for it. I just turned 62 this month. I can't do my job no more. I drive hundreds of miles a week in bad areas. It's exhausting me. It's depressing me. I take care of 2 toddlers.
You're struggling. I get it. And Kate, I'm glad you're asking this because, Terry, it's not that you don't get people retiring.
Wait. That's a very important point. First of all, I talk about the numbers, and sometimes the texts come in, and nothing makes the point more poignantly than a voice like yours. I have nothing against retiring at 62. What I am suggesting is that your Social Security is do you think you're going to get as much from Social Security as you did from working, Kate?
Actually, clearing everything, yes. And here's another thing is that I'll work part-time. I already told my boss. I'll work part-time.
Okay, so you still have some income coming in.
Wait. This is really important, Kate. If I want you to think about this in a different way. You know, I grant you my blessing, my Terry Savage blessing to retire from a job that's too hard, too onerous, and so forth. But if you're going to work part-time, there are income limits or that Social Security money is taxed away. So my suggestion to you is, yes, retire. Yes, tell your boss you'll work part-time. And yes, use your savings for the next 5 years or get a different, easier gig to make some extra money close to home for the next few years so that, number one, your Social Security check grows. Number two, it's not taxed because you have other earnings. And when you retire, if you can wait till 67, you'll have a significantly, significantly bigger check from Social Security. So it's not like don't retire. It's retire. And can you take a look at what your benefits would be by retiring early versus full retirement? Just go to Social Security to find out. And what are the income limits? And say to yourself, well, you know, actually, if I worked part-time, I could do that. And plus, I could get another job nearby my house, or I could use some of my savings. The goal is to push off starting Social Security as long as possible, especially if you're going to work part-time.
I'm glad we cleared that up, because you say about the 62 thing sometimes, people get really up in arms, I can't do this job.
I get that.
Kate, you're the perfect example of it. Thank you so much for calling. Before we take this break from the 847, talk about what a pioneer Terry was at the CBOE. A lot of women stand on her shoulders. This is Terry Compliment Day here on WGN.
Do you remember back this far? Okay, it was in...
we got to hit the break.
1973.
Wow.
When the CBOE opened, I was the first woman trader. I was also 6 months pregnant. They put me on a seat in the corner because when the yelling started, the crowds were going to rush. And they said, you stay over there. So I'm the only one who really had a seat. Everybody else.
That's a great story. Terry Savage, you ready for some more questions and calls?
Absolutely, John Hanson.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I think I said all that with my microphone off. John for John at 1236. 312-981-7200 to call on in. You can text on in, too. And we also have a lot of cicada photos. Do you want to look at some of these, Terry Savage, later?
No.
You don't want to look at all of them?
No, disgusting.
We're getting quite a lot of them. Before we get to a couple more questions, what are people asking you the most about? I know you wanted to talk a little bit about long-term care. That's your latest.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's the latest column at terrysavage.com. It's a big topic, but the reason I wrote about it again is this. For many years, I encouraged people to buy long-term care insurance because it's the one retirement disaster that could really destroy all your plans, or if it happens to you, destroy what you could leave to your spouse. Or your children thereafter. So I've long been a fan of long-term care insurance. Mm-hmm. And when it was sold in the 90s, it was sold like, okay, buy it in your 50s and you'll lock in the price and you'll get an inflation protection. Well, little did we know that the insurance companies in eras of low interest rates and bad earnings would go state to state and say, you know, we're going out of business unless you grant us a rate increase. But I remember having a big fight with the Illinois insurance commissioners to no avail because insurance companies, long-term care companies across the country raise premiums. I have two policies. One I fully paid up in 10 years, but one was just a CNA policy that was $780 a year premium when I took it out. It recently jumped to $5,000 or $6,000. So I took the advice of Brian Gordon and said, you know, it's been inflation adjusted. I'll just freeze that. That dropped it down a lot. Well, people don't want to think about long-term care insurance for two reasons now. Number one, they were, screwed by the insurance companies if they bought it a while back. And number two, who wants to think about not being able to do
what
basic
you want to do, right?
Daily activities, getting out of bed, showering, and so forth. So, but I really am here to tell you that at this point, you might want to think about it, but everybody says, but how would I pay for it, and what if they raise premiums? So the current column on long-term care insurance ran in the Tribune and is on my website. I'm getting emails from all over the country about this. It says, first of all, think about it differently. A new policy, a combo, life and long-term care. So if you don't use it, there's a death benefit. I hope you, you know, walk halfway off the 18th hole when you're 96,
right,
and drop over and say, well, that was it. Good life. But if you do use it, you have the benefits, years of benefits, and it can be with inflation protection. But the new way to buy it is to do what I did many years ago, which is a 10-pay policy or one lump sum up front that locks in this kind of long-term care policy with inflation protection. And if you don't use it, you get the life insurance. And now you're saying, oh, my God, that is so expensive.
Yeah, it sounds expensive.
It is very expensive. Nobody has that money, and you're retiring.
Because you're talking about like $100,000,
right? I'm talking probably over $100,000. But where do you have an unexpected $100,000? Stop and think now.
HSA?
Yeah, your IRA.
Oh, your IRA.
Or your 401k, which you're about to roll over into an IRA as you retire. We said it earlier, a giant bull market. Did you ever think you would have this much money? So, wait a minute. If I take it out of my IRA, I'm going to pay taxes on it, yes.
If I'm not 59 and a half, right?
Well, if you're not 59 and a half, you don't want to do this because there's a penalty.
Okay.
So, unless there's a real good reason. But now, if you take it out of your IRA, there's a tax burden, and it could even impact your Medicare premiums taking $100,000 out, even though you're going, yeah, right, I never thought I'd have that much money. So today's column revolves around taking that IRA money, buying an annuity. Now, you always hear me rail against everybody trying to sell you annuities, a special kind of annuity, which will be used to pay every year for 10 years, that premium on that long-term care insurance policy. So you'll only be, in effect, taking 10% of it out every year and taxed on that. And if you're over 73, when you're still paying these premiums, it counts as part of your RMD, this payout. So complicated.
But you're buying an annuity to break up the payments over 10 years.
Literally. And the money, exactly. And the money inside it will grow tax deferred. So you get a big discount on a policy if you agree to pay up front, or even if you could set up, you could do this on your own if you had that money every year. But this is a way to take this money out of the stock market at the highs in your IRA, convert it to an annuity that will guarantee, give you a paid up policy. And by the way, spouses get a huge discount on this deal because the life insurance is only on the first to die, but the care insurance covers both spouses if they need it. So my guru of all things long-term care is Brian Gordon at Gordon Associates. I will tell you his toll-free number. You don't have to use my name. I get nothing out of this, but it's engraved. It's 800-533-6242. And it's in that article, the top column at terrysavage.com, long-term care insurance, a creative way to pay. Brian did a podcast. Well, I'll let you know. It'll be up under my podcast in a week or two when they finish it, editing it and so forth. Brian told me about clients they've had. They've been in this business, he said, over 40 years, that have ongoing payments that they paid premiums for maybe in the $20,000, $30,000 range over the years, and now they're up over $1 million in benefits being paid out because they had that policy.
And if they don't use it, it's a death benefit. And
on the new, these new policies, if they don't use it, it's death benefit.
Wow.
My father's, I was so glad I had, okay? My mother, we never used the benefit, but I'm glad it was there.
It was there. It's peace of mind.
Yeah.
Go to sleep. TerrySavage.com, where you can find that. 312-981-7200. We got a lot of texts to get to. Some phone calls, too. Let's get a look at the Wintrust Business Minute with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The original Rainbow Cone is expanding again, this time into Michigan. A Chicago company has opened a location in New Buffalo inside Sunny D's Bar and Grill. This is Rainbow Cone's first location in Michigan. The company has expanded now to three states outside of Illinois. The famed ice cream brand was born in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood 98 years ago. Until recently, it only had a few locations around Chicago. One of the new spots in Chicago is Wicker Park. It's also in Valparaiso, along with Pleasant Prairie and Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Gatorade has a new ad campaign that features iconic athletes. Cranes reports the campaign takes inspiration from Gatorade ads from 25 years ago. Michael Jordan, who starred in those commercials, narrates the new ad featuring Caitlin Clark, Jason Tatum, and Josh Allen, among others. Colorful beads of sweat appear on the foreheads of the new class of athletes, just like the 1998 commercials featuring Jordan. He also appears last in this new commercial with the tagline, "Gatorade, is it in you?" Gatorade is owned by PepsiCo and is headquartered in Chicago. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Patrick Elwood now with the business of food.
Within the walls of the Cook County Jail, there grows a garden.
Chris, we're working hard today.
Where hope springs eternal here in the days of summer.
I love gardening.
Jail inmate and gardener Jamie Williams says this place is his home away from home.
I need some strength.
While he awaits trial for felony burglary.
I've been gardening all my life. It's been something that it soothes me. It's peaceful. And we got some rain finally. You know, we've been not getting enough rain.
The formal program name for this area of the sprawling jail complex is the Sheriff's Urban Farming Initiative. They grow a lot of fruits and veggies here.
We got tomatoes, they got greens, they got beets, they got some flowers, we got some pumpkins, they got a cherry tree, we got some herbs growing over there.
They also have a bee colony. Jamie is one of 20 inmates currently here at the jail who toil in the soil, an initiative that started back in 2006 and...
I would obviously kill everything here.
The sheriff readily admits he is no farmer Tom. But DART is proud to say it has grown in the number of crops and participants ever since. A program he is quick to add that has them lining up at his door to be a part of.
All of them will tell you, A, they love being out here. There's a queue like you wouldn't believe to get into the program.
And, says DART, while they are cultivating the crops, they're developing a healthy diet of self-esteem.
They all talk about the therapeutic value of being just out here and working in a garden.
What is sown here at the garden is offered up at Soprafina Market Cafe's East Randolph Restaurant and another under the Rosenthal Group. The garden variety goods are also sold once a week at the Daily Center, and inmates have a chance to show off their bountiful harvest at the farmer's market.
We're bringing money in to sustain the program.
And says DART, who considers part of his job trying to help inmates when they get out. A day at the market also allows for interaction so these gardeners can relate to people buying the goods on a personal level.
The public can see detainees who they would never interact with normally, see them in a different light, that they are people that are no different than you and I, and we can work with them, and they're decent people.
Patrick Elwood, WGN News.
Someone texted in, you were talking about the long-term care insurance. If you're just joining us, terrysavage.com with a creative way to do this where you get a death benefit and long-term care insurance, and they divvy out how the lump sum payment works so you don't get dinged on the taxes through an annuity. Anyways, someone wanted to know the number for Brian
Gordon.
Yes,
Brian Gordon and Associates, called Gordon Associates, and they're in Libertyville, 800-533-6242. But read the column first at terrysavage.com. The number's in there. Anyway, at the bottom, I want you to understand the concept so you can talk.
It's hard, yeah. I just summed it up.
533-6242.
I summed it up, and I don't even know if what I said made sense.
You know, it never surprises me that you get this stuff.
I fake it really well. 815, should I move my money out of my 401k when I retire to an entirely different fund?
I always think, and I will tell you exactly where you can find out how to do this, because I have a column up that I wrote over a year ago at terrysavage.com. In the search the columns box, just put the word rollover. And the basic is that when you, first of all, 401k plans are mostly designed for people who are younger, accumulating, growing, and so forth. When you're older and you're retired, you might want to have a place where you could take less risk, more choices that are more conservative. So you want to do a direct rollover. Do not fall into the hands of the army. I'm sorry of all of you financial salespeople out there waiting to offer you advice, and you will pay them a fee and they will tell you what to do. You do this on your own. Go to read the rollover column and then have an automatic rollover done to Fidelity or Vanguard. And there you have a broad choice of funds, some more conservative ones, equity income funds and balanced funds that you won't find in your 401k, and even maybe a money market fund, a government securities money fund for a portion of it. So read the column, just find it in the search box. Put the word rollover.
I was going to ask why do it, because some 401ks have a couple options for you, but you'd rather have 100 than 10, well, or whatever it may be.
Exactly. You'd rather have more options. Your 401k plan may have a guaranteed high income account that would mean you'd probably want to stay there. But basically, it's time now to move on to the distribution side. And it's not wrong to get a little advice about distribution, but you want to get that from a fiduciary, fee-only financial planner. And you could safely tell that fiduciary, yeah, I am shocked, but I rolled over $682,000. It's half in the Fidelity Money Market Fund and half in the Equity Income Fund. But how do I start withdrawing, et cetera? Now you find your fee-only fiduciary planner, not by going to a free lunch, but by going to wealthramp.com. There's a link at the top of terrysavage.com. I want to repeat this in case you don't know this. I get nothing out of these recommendations. These are people I know and trust, and the point of doing it is because nobody's advertising helpful free helpful advice that it doesn't have an edge for the people. So this is how you do it.
Yep, and Terry Savage won't take you out to free lunch.
I don't let these people buy my lunch. I want to be able to say I'm the old. Yeah. You know, Someone, who was it? Stan Hathcock said, Terry, you are the original fiduciary. You don't get paid for this stuff. Yeah. I don't.
630, Terry, I'm at a retirement age at this time, which is 66 and 4 months, but I'm still working. I'm not collecting Social Security. In order to get the full benefit for the increase, do I have to wait to retire at 67 and 4 months? Or is it increase available now before the 67 and 4 months anniversary date?
I got a better idea. Wait till 70. You're still working. You don't need it. Every additional month you wait after your full retirement age, and the full retirement age is the month specified for you, okay, then every single month you get more in your base check. Don't think about it. You get 8% more a year on your base check after your full retirement age. So that base check could be 30% higher when you retire. And that's the base on which future, if there is inflation, cost of living adjustments will be paid. So don't try and, I mean, they'll do the calculations for you. You should wait till your full retirement age. But if you can wait another 6 months, another 8 months, another year, or actually about 3 years till 70, it's really worth it.
You told Kate earlier, and it was a great conversation about why you talk about this, that yes, if the job is laborious, maybe you want to leave that particular job. Maybe you want to semi-retire, but calculate what you get in Social Security. See what that number is, and then find a creative way to get that income, that amount, to replace that amount.
When I was talking to Kate right after that in the break, I looked it up. If for this year, for 2024, if you're under full retirement age and you earn over $22,320, they deduct $1 from your benefits for every $2 you earn above that limit, $22,320. The year that you turn full retirement age, they deduct $1 in benefits for every $3 you earn, and that limit is close to $60,000. But the point is, if you could replace not your current income, but instead of... Go ahead, find out. What will you send me Social Security in the way of a check? You not only have to replace your old income, you just have to find a way not to use the Social Security check and earn some money and delay your check until full retirement age.
Yeah. 630 wants to know, I have a 457. First of all, you got to tell me what that is. Second of all, when I retire, should I move it?
Yeah, you've heard of 403Bs, 457, municipal retirement plans, and so forth. Make sure your plan doesn't have some special kind of a deal for you that has a high fixed income account in it. But in general, when you retire, you probably want to maintain control of your money, not pay taxes, do a direct rollover so there's no tax consequence, and then go to a place with a wider choice. The exception would be there are some companies that have really terrific alternative investments that are more conservative, and there are some companies that offer free advice that's not trying to get you to do something with your money and pay a commission on it within the plan. That's also a possibility. But if you can handle your money on your own, do a rollover where you get more broad choices.
630 wants to know, how do I sign up to get her column?
Oh, we just go to it's in the Tribune on Sundays. But if you go to terrysavage.com, I post a new column, the one that goes in the papers.
Do you have an email list or anything?
Oh, and I do. I haven't used this in a while. I have a newsletter, and I tend to send it out when there's something really big happening that I want everyone to be aware of. And I just realized I haven't sent one out in about 6 or 7 weeks. But there's a free newsletter, which if I think the world's ending or there's some great deal, I always promise myself I'll send it out once a month and link to all my columns.
We get it.
But there it is.
We all get it, Terry.
Come back to the website.
With how much you work, yes. But that's good to know that if the world is ending, Terry Savage is going to be the one to break it to you.
Yes, and I'll send it to you in a newsletter, right.
Terry, it was great to chat with you. I really encourage people to look at the long-term care insurance column you put up. Really fascinating stuff. It was lovely to see you in person. I echo all the sentiments that people say about how much you do for them, for women, for everyone.
Thank you.
We'll talk next week.
Yes, absolutely.